can be sad when you miss your favorite interview, don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
It was great to say at the start of the show today, and I'll say it again now, live from the First Midwest Bank studio. It is Waddle and Sylvie, and it is great to be back in the studio for the first time in just over a year. Let's talk to Jesse Rogers. There is some breaking Cubs news here, and it is brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Absolutely awesome stuff from Toyota. The RAV4 is my vehicle of choice, the Highlander, a great family car as well. Jesse, what is going on with the Cubs and COVID?
Yeah, a potential outbreak after avoiding it last season. Remember, no in-season positive tests last year. Well, their first base coach, Craig Driver, went down a few days ago, and now their bullpen coach, Chris Young. I mean, there were people making jokes, well, nobody was at first base to get infected by Craig Driver, but Chris Young, obviously, close contact with relievers, so three of them are down. I'm told it's precautionary. They've tested positive, but because I assume they were around Chris Young maybe more than other people, Dan Winkler, Brandon Workman, Jason Adam, they go on the injured list. It's kind of ambiguous. They could come off it at any time as the team continues to test. Chris Young was on the team flight. They flew from Pittsburgh to Chicago, then bussed up to Milwaukee. Somewhere in there, he tested positive. Again, Craig Driver never made the trip to Pittsburgh. So those two coaches are down. Three pitchers are down. Reinforcements coming up from the alternate site. Maybe one's Pedro Strop, your guy, Sylvie. We'll find out shortly who those names are. But just not a good situation for the Cubs right now. I mean, any distraction, right, once the season starts. I mean, the Nats are 1-5 after their outbreak. I heard Schwarber and Josh Bell talking about them getting back. And now the Cubs with, you know, three pitchers down and a couple coaches. So not good news.
I think you were just tweeting, too, about how the Cubs have had real hard conversations about getting everyone to get vaccinated. And some people bring up points as to why they don't want to get vaccinated. Is this sort of another example to those who may not be convinced to follow the science that maybe they should follow the science?
You would think so. David Ross mentioned that just, you know, 5 minutes ago on a Zoom with reporters. He was asked that. Remember, the White Sox, 90% of their traveling party was vaccinated last Thursday after their game, had Friday off because of, and then Saturday off because of the rain. So they were able to recover. And I know the feeling. I just had my second shot yesterday, and I have not felt great today. So the Sox were fortunate to get that done and not have any, you know, problems with players. The Cubs, though, have not reached that 85% threshold. The 85% means you can loosen restrictions. So hard conversations going on. I mean, I asked Ross a few days ago about this, and I said, is it just world-class athletes don't want to put something in their arm? You know, I just wanted to start the conversation. They don't want to put something in their body. And the only thing he brought up, and I think we know all the arguments, but he brought up, you know, something about young couples together and they want to have a future. Obviously, we know what he's referencing, the idea of probably having a family, right? So I think it's been, you know, sort of dismissed as an issue, right? Vaccinated as a problem with getting, you know, being pregnant or whatever. But some players have some issues and they're pushing back. I don't know if that's the only reason, but he did reference that. So we'll see if this pushes them in the right direction, because right now the Nats had a little outbreak and it's the Cubs, those two teams really.
On the field, Jess, how would you describe what you've seen recently?
Same old, same old. Really disappointed in yesterday's game. You know, after a bad one, everyone has a bad one on Saturday. You'd expect a response. And that could be on the mound or at the plate. And they got nothing yesterday, losing that series to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are going to lose 100 games. And when I say same old, Tommy, they're just not hitting. Mm-hmm. They're not hitting fastballs. I mean, we talked about this last year. If you're not hitting fastballs, where are you going in the game of baseball, right? I mean, that's the first thing you better hit. Last year, they hit 165 against fastballs. That's this year, 165 against fastballs. That's 30th in the league, and their OPS isn't much better than that. So it's kind of the same old, same old. Same problems they had last year, and if you want to go back several years, David's trying to put on a good face, and you know, this guy had a good at-bat, that guy had a good at-bat here and there, but together they're not doing it enough. They had some good ones on Friday in their win, but really bad game Saturday for sure. And Sunday, in my opinion, was almost worse just because there was no response.
Jess, do you believe personally that there are guys pressing because free agency is on the horizon for several of them?
It'd be an easy answer, but, you know, where was that offense last year and the year before? It's kind of similar. Now, I think the answer is yes, but I don't want to use that as an excuse. I think the other answer is that the sad truth we've all come to realize that these guys aren't as good as we thought they are. I mentioned a cap today. I had a write about the Phillies-Braves game last night. It's like one great hitter after another in both those lineups. It's not materializing on offense the way anybody thought it would. Yes, we know Javi Baez is still a good hitter. Rizzo's is still a good hitter, but it's not dynamic. It's not together. It's not MVP-ish, right? Baez had his run back in 18, but and he homered yesterday, and those guys will get there. Brian actually looks the best of the group, but it's just not consistent. It's not consistent. Nobody's really hot. I think that the best OPS on the team ranks 45th. That's Brian, 45th in baseball. So they're okay, but no one's really hot, and they need a couple guys to get hot.
I was asking Waddle this earlier. Like, what if because of the market you can buy low? You can get Bryant lower in the open market than you ever thought you could have. You could get Baez at the end of all this on the open market lower than you ever thought. Rizzo, the same thing. Like, is it not worth it bringing them all back even low just because at the end of the day, Rizzo plus Bryant plus Baez equals three runs against the Pirates in two weekend games and more of the same from the last 4 years?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think any team is going to say, I don't want Anthony Rizzo if he gives you a team-friendly deal, discount. Same thing with Javi Baez, right? And same thing even with Brian, if he's healthy, which he is right now. I would still take them at a discount. Remember, you have to replace them. So if you don't sign up Javi Baez, okay, go get Corey Seager for $220 million
right,
or something. That's fine. I'm okay with that. There are other players on other teams that are better than what the Cubs have. But at some point, you're going to have to spend for them or get these guys at a discount. You're not going to convince me that Baez is a bad player, right? He's a great defender. We know he has it in him offensively, but he has some issues. Rizzo is a traditionally slow starter in April, and Bryant's been okay so far. So I would take them at discounts, yes.
How do you feel about the bullpen?
Well, they're down three now, Tommy. You know, it's okay. I mean, Craig Kimbrell's been great. Let's face it. He's been great. I think I heard you guys ask this question last week. Would you buy stock in your main Mercedes or Craig Kimbrell? And I actually disagreed. Isn't that what you guys asked? I actually disagreed with you guys. I'd probably buy it in Mercedes because he has shown at every level that he can hit. Now he's finally getting a chance. I really need to see it out of Kimbrell for a while. And maybe I'm being too harsh, but we've seen this act before, maybe not even three or four good ones in a row, but we've seen him flash, you know, give us a flash, and then he goes backwards. So I love what he's doing right now. His off-speed pitch is getting over for a strike, and his fastball isn't what it used to be, but it's still good enough right now if his curveball's getting over. You can't take anything away from him. The rest of the bullpen's okay. You know, Dan Winkler walked three guys. Kimbrel got him out of it. You know, they'll be up and down in that area, I think, all season long.
Yeah, I think the question was because they're hot starts, they're crazy starts by both Mercedes and Kimbrel, who is more likely to continue that? And we all went to Kimbrel.
I said Kimbrel just because
of Hall of Famer.
Yeah, just because of his resume.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little like, you know, because I've been to every game when before COVID, and then I watched him every, you know, all those bad performances. Remember, maybe I'm a little biased. I wasn't for the signing, all that stuff, but he is certainly proving. I didn't think he could do this again. I thought he was washed up. I'm just going to say it. But he's proving me wrong so far. Let's see how this thing continues. I just think that if you've hit at every level and you're starting to hit here, that, you know, maybe there's something there. But look, Kimbrel has a Hall of Fame career behind him. Mercedes has a week, right? So I understand that my choice is a little bit opposite of what most people might think.
Jesse, I've been wanting to get to this topic. Boog brought up yesterday, I don't know how you viewed the game, but Boog was bringing up again with a Contreras play when he was ruled out with the slide, that the replay, they weren't sure about it, but then they ruled him out. I mean, that's fine. But what he doesn't like is they inform nobody. They go to these cameras and they go to New York and they get the ruling. And the NBA now has to go to the scorer's table and explain how they rule. The NFL explains every rule and replay and what happens. It's important. Boog was saying, look, this game isn't just for the players. It's for the fans. It's for the announcers. All these people need to know. Then, sure enough, like several hours later, the Braves are on Sunday Night Baseball. And there's this bang-bang play between the Braves and the Phillies at the plate. And it looked like the guy never touched home plate. But yet they still ruled in favor of the Phillies. Snitker was asked about it and said, they don't tell us why they rule a certain way. To go more into Boog's point, why aren't they more transparent for everyone, players and the fans, as to why they rule the way they rule?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little exclusive for the Waddle and Sylvie show, as I like to do from time to time. That is coming. In fact, it may have already been here, if not for COVID. There were plans in the works to mic the umpires, you know, whatever technical thing they have to, I don't know if they're going to mic them or they'd walk over to a microphone, whatever it is. There were plans in the works for them to announce to the in-stadium crowd what the reasoning was, and they will get back to that as soon as we're past COVID. So that is something coming to Major League Baseball. The umpires will announce in stadium what exactly the ruling is and why the ruling is what it is. I assume they'll announce something after a video replay challenge. They're going to utilize that ability to speak to the crowd, both at home and in the stadium. So that is coming.
Yeah, and they do it in hockey too. Like, yep. I would, Jesse, I would, and I know Waddle's going to give me a weird look. Yeah. I would be okay. Why don't they just go directly to New York and every replay, you want to get more viewers interested? Instead of looking at this dumbass shot of umpires with headsets on, why don't we go to Mission Control and why aren't we privy to the give and take of the replay official? And he could walk us through it. Okay, well, here's what I see. Look, these guys have to stand up under a microscope and try and hit 99 mile per hour fastballs. It's hard. So don't give me, well, they may get it wrong or they may get exposed or they're not great speakers. Look, open up the door. It would maybe liven up the broadcast. Show us the process on how you review the play and why you're determining this, and cut out the middleman. The umpire at the game should have nothing to do with this, shouldn't have to put on a headset, put it on the Jumbotron, put it on the television screen, and let them in New York tell you why they're ruling this way.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think you can never go wrong with more transparency, and that's what we're getting here. Look, there are going to be some 50-50 calls, even via replay, but why not allow everybody to see the process? I've mentioned this to you before. I think I called you from the building. I've been in that replay room. It would be cool to have a camera in there. There's an umpire at there's like two or three umpires in there. Now, last night there was probably only one because there's only one game going on. But there's these stations, tons of cameras, tons of monitors. They're sitting there watching the game, and they make the call. They put their headset on. They talk to the umpire on site. Put a camera in there. I'm with you. Now, I'm sure, like you said, they're going to come up with some reasons against it. But at least they're taking this step where they're going to make an announcement, explain it in stadium and obviously on TV as well. So I think all these things are important because baseball's trying to create more excitement, more conversation. I mean, in some ways, they probably loved last night because it created this conversation. But at the end of the day, getting it right and showing and having some transparency, I think, is the most important thing.
What would Joe West say?
Take it out of his hands.
He would say, forget it. He would say, turn off that mic now.
That's he says, I've got a dinner reservation. Let
is
me ring this up.
Is he still umpiring, or is he, did
I think
he walk
he is,
away?
Yeah, no,
is he's still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's still
are you guys monitoring Twitter here as I am talking to you?
No.
Carlos Rodon has been scratched with an upset stomach.
Okay.
So Dallas Keuchel is going to start.
I'm scratched for the last 30 minutes with an upset stomach here on the show as well.
Oh, you should have heard Liam Hendricks today on the Zoom, man.
We played it. We played it.
Oh,
yeah.
You did. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay,
we could
good.
Share it again with the 5 o'clock audience.
Jess, is
the tarot cards.
Was it a tarot card reading or was it like more of a kind of a therapist session for him?
Yeah, that's a good question. He said tarot card reading, but then you hear about this person. I don't know how much you played. This woman, Ruby, is almost like a life coach.
Right.
She advised him on his contract. She advised him to switch agents. Or at least she predicted what his contract was going to be. I mean, he used the words tarot reading, so you'd assume that's what it was. But it sounds like he has a life coach, and she helps him. I mean, he acted like he blew up a 5-run lead last night. He gave him a home run. That's going to happen.
Right.
But I like the moxie. This is never going to happen again. I'm addressing this. I'm spreading sage around the locker room. The guy's nuts, but I love it. And Tony La Russa said, look, he's one of the best in the game. Whatever gets you to where you need to be great, I'm fine with it.
That's good to hear him say that, too. Jesse, great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
You got it, guys. Have a good week.
There's Jesse Rogers, brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Check out our hybrids, too. Absolutely outstanding. All right, I've got some football, too, unless you want to continue to talk about that replay issue.
Oh, I want to talk football.
I've got some football and some quarterback. Someone over the weekend had a quarterback take, and I want to see if you agree or disagree with it. It's a philosophical approach for the draft coming up. I'll play it for you. You say thumbs up or thumbs down. That's next.
It's a lot better than the 10 Zoom meetings you've been on today.
This may take a couple of days, maybe more.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000 and listen to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Almost 3.5 hours in, I pulled up the chair for the first time.
Hey, why don't you pull up a chair and hang out?
I've enjoyed standing because at home I hadn't done that. I'd just been a big fat ass in a recliner.
You tried to tell me, though, that it added to your stomach,
That's what I'm telling myself.
Don't try to suck it in now. See you trying to suck it up now just because you're on Twitter or on Twitch. But you told me, that's not the product of sitting hunched over in a chair.
That's what I'm telling myself. I've been telling myself that. And my wife's been telling me, too, that because I don't move as much from home, sedentary?
Sedentary.
Is there an N in there?
I believe it is. Sedentary, I believe.
Sedentary or sedentary?
Cemetery.
Huh?
No.
So I don't move around and I sit more and I'm just sitting all day.
And that makes your stomach grow?
More... When my weight is the same, but I got more of a gut, and maybe it's just me eating more. I don't know.
But sedentary.
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 That can add like a few.
Tending to spend too much time seated, somewhat inactive.
Yes.
And then, fat ass. Oh, indeed. Yeah, right. Yeah, yes. I'm sorry. Right. My bad. Did I say that?
Yes. Eating pizza.
You did, yeah.
Damn. Having pie.
Damn, I said that ass. I'm sorry.
And so, around here, the spare tire on me.
That's not from sitting, though.
Okay.
It's from shoving pizza down your face constantly.
Now you're making guilty. Now I got to stand back up.
Well, now I'm going to be thinner. Now that fat around my waist is going to go away because I'm standing. So what do you mean?
Yeah, if you're going to stand there, at least do some calf raises. Yeah.
Cap during commercial breaks, he's got those bands and he works out?
Oh, yeah.
Or does he not do that anymore?
Does he have them in the studio? I see them in his gym at home.
He used to. When I worked on the show, he would do a little arm thing.
That's basically all I use now is bands.
What do you
mean,
no, he wouldn't? He would absolutely do it in the studio. Zerbin will agree with that.
By the way, I'm just trying to help you here. Standing up isn't going to be your answer for getting rid of that midsection,
It's just eating
jiggling
less.
Around either. No, giving your boobs an exercise, jumping up and down like that.
Bring my boobs now.
You need one of those old-timey machines that has the band around you that just shakes you back and forth.
Yeah, that's going to get rid of your fat. No, it's not.
It would be great if
not
it was
eating
that
a bag of chips, sitting in front watching a Bulls game.
Oh, can we get you one of those electric things? That you strap on to your
abs.
You strap around your abs and it shocks you for an hour.
Don't you know that one former program director will remain nameless.
Spaceball
is the inventor of that. Him and his wife invented that, and they got sued for it. And they I think they got sued.
Why? Because it didn't work, and they said it worked.
I think it set people electrocuted people or something.
What?
Something happened.
Man. Allegedly,
Sylvie.
What?
The corresponding moves have been announced for the Cubs. Justin Steele.
Justin Steele. His name's not Justin Steele. It's just his stage name, Justin Steele.
And Pedro Strop.
Stropey's back.
To the left.
Do you think he's going to wear his hat straight on this time?
I don't think he can.
I think this is exactly what they needed. This is the man for the job to loosen up this squad.
Is he going to hit for him?
He may not be a bad idea to hit
What's
for them.
What's he been doing? You brought him in to put him in
I think
Iowa?
He's been dining outdoors in Arizona when he shouldn't be, right?
He's been sedentary.
He's been sedentary, yes.
He's, you know how I feel about Stropey. One of the most underrated Cubs reliever.
He had his time. There's no doubt. Yeah, he had his time.
It may be time. I mean, but look, they say he's a good clubhouse guy. Maybe he
That's what you're missing. Like, don't worry about the 125 collective batting average. You just need a good clubhouse guy.
You know what? I feel.
Isn't that what we need? Like, let's get a good clubhouse guy.
Well,
we're
the Cubs are similar, I feel, like, to the Bears front office.
I was just going to say, like, you're singing the Bears song.
Right, right.
We got a great culture up here. We collaborate a lot.
With the Cubs.
We hit 125, but we, you know what? We like each other.
The Cubs have a lot of guys who you would want your daughters to marry. Right? Like, it's really.
Well, they're rich.
It's like the. Well, not just the rich. Oh, why do you got to go to the rich?
But they're rich.
First?
But they are.
They're rich and they're young.
But they're good guys. Like, who would. Yeah. Like, Ian Happ, good dude. Chris Bryant, good dude. Anthony Rizzo, good dude.
I don't want my daughters marrying someone that's already married, but I get what you're saying.
Kyle Hendricks, good dude. There's a lot of good. It's like, you want Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to be your neighbors, and you want the Cubs to be your, like, your son in law, but maybe not your baseball player.
I think that's a fair statement at this point. I think it's a fair statement. We're talking in generalities now.
I know I owe you football, but now we're a little late.
I don't care.
I will get to that here coming up in a little bit. But Jeremy Schapp who's got an interesting take on trading up.
Really?
And getting into the top three that I want to get to. But
you know they're going to be aggressive. You know that. They're going to try to be aggressive. You just know that.
Here, aggressive right? up? No, I was taking it in. I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like aggressive up. But again, now you're going to give away more picks. Aggressive to the top from 20 to 5?
You know that.
To 20 where? Where are they going? To Atlanta?
Don't ask me to defend them. I'm just telling you what, like, history just tends to repeat itself, doesn't it? Isn't history one of the best predictors of the future?
Yes.
Or are you telling me they learned their lesson?
I don't know what lesson. If they traded up from 3 to 2 and they just called the right name, we would have been happy.
Let's think about this real quick. And I'm sure there are examples. Moving up in the draft has netted them what positive? They moved up for Anthony Miller, right?
Right.
That hasn't worked
out.
He's
on the trade market.
They moved up for Mitch. Did that work out?
He's a backup
in Buffalo.
They
moved up for Adam Shaheen, didn't they? Or they moved back for Adam Shaheen?
They moved back for Shaheen. Okay. Would they trade up for Floyd? Didn't they trade up for Leonard Floyd?
Yes, how'd that work?
Yeah, he's in L.A. now. He's got a contract with L.A., though.
No, I know. But, like, that whole moving up thing.
Yeah. Move back. Get more picks. Do more stuff. Fill more holes. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll play you this coming up. 312-332-3776. So, yeah, the Cubs have brought up Steele, Wick, and Strope. They have a bit of a COVID issue for the first time, really.
Steele, Wick, and Strope.
And, it's with what's his name on the, who's the law guy? Howard Ankin.
Yes.
He's got new partners. It's Steele, Wick, and Strope.
There we go. Got a great law firm. We can't get anybody out, but we got great names for a law firm.
We are
the Cubs.
Is it a good thing to move up in the draft and draft a quarterback? Or does this person have a flawed philosophy? You'll hear it next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
By the way, I just showed Waddle the Anthony Miller tweet. I guess he tweeted a hat tip to a listener who's forwarded to me about 4:45, just an hourglass with the sands
running out,
going through the hourglass. Yeah, is that just like is that a way to just say, hey, time's running out here? Like, I'm going to get traded at any second. It's going to come out here.
I don't know. It's been kind of a perplexing experience, hasn't it? After the rookie year, everyone thought that he was destined to be a real difference maker, and then it went south.
That was the floor, right? High touchdown year. That was
seven touchdowns,
scratching the surface.
Yeah.
It was going to go up from there. You wonder, like some people have asked me too, would Bill Belichick be the type of guy? He was the guy who sent the Bears the pick so they can take him that year. Would he be the guy to say, "Hey, look, we'll try with this guy. He could use we've kind of swung and missed with receivers. Edelman retires." Maybe we'll buy low on Anthony Miller.
I've told you this a bunch, and I may end up being wrong. I think he's going to find a new start somewhere, and I'm not telling you he's going to become an enormous difference maker, but I think he can be a contributor. Like, I really do. I think that he finds a new start somewhere else. I think he's a guy that could catch you 50 balls for 750, 800 yards, could have 5-6 touchdowns, and could be a really good third, maybe a second receiver in the league. He's got that talent.
Right.
Whether or not that will manifest itself in the production, I don't know. But I do believe that the talent is there, and I wouldn't be shocked if he went to a different home and got a new fresh start and became a productive player.
I want you to hear this. This is from Jeremy Schapp. This is what I was telling you about. It was from over the weekend on ESPN, his parting shot, I believe. And it was about quarterbacks. And we know 1, 2, 3 are going to go all with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And now other teams are looking to trade up to get up for the 4th and 5th. A best prospect towards the top of the draft. And here's what Jeremy Schapp had to say about all of that.
What's amazing about the way teams position themselves for the NFL draft and the way they actually draft is how they utterly refuse to learn the lessons of draft history. All the machinations, all the hours spent analyzing this player, breaking down that player, when at the end of the day, this is to a large degree a crapshoot. As in, your guess is as good as mine. It's like those cats and turtles who fill out the winning March Madness brackets, especially quarterback, the position hardest to evaluate, and yet the one at which every team seems convinced they know exactly what they're doing. I mean, seriously, is Zach Wilson really better than Sam Darnold? Who knows? Maybe he's the next Johnny Unitas. Maybe he's the next Geno Smith. In 2017, the Bears traded 4 picks to move up 1 spot to draft Mitchell Trubisky at 2nd overall. They could have kept all those picks and taken Patrick Mahomes with room to spare. He went 10th. With the exception of the rare, very rare, almost impossibly rare, sure thing, a la John Elway or Peyton Manning, you're probably better off using that top pick on an offensive lineman or linebacker. Late in the first round, after all, you can get an Aaron Rodgers. Or in the 2nd, a Drew Brees. Or if you wait all the way until the 6th, Tom Brady. In the last 50 NFL drafts, 44 quarterbacks have been selected 1st, 2nd, or 3rd overall. And exactly 2 have gone on to win Super Bowls as the starters for the teams that drafted them. Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning.
Now, that is a technicality because of Elway, who he just mentioned. Remember, wasn't he drafted by Baltimore? Then correct. They shipped him to Denver. And then also Eli Manning was drafted by San Diego. And then he was sent to New York, and he won 2 Super Bowls.
Listen, some of it is also about, it's about identifying talent, but then it's developing that talent. Like, Troy Aikman went to a fantastic spot for him. He was the 1st overall pick, but he went to Dallas. Jimmy Johnson knew how to run a football team, right? So, like, there are a lot of times when you see a quarterback go to a team that's drafting 1st overall, and you question whether or not that organization has the football knowledge to do whatever they need to do and whether or not they have the coaching staff that will actually develop them.
It's a great point that a lot of these teams who are drafting 1, 2, and 3 usually are up there for a reason because their organization sucks.
Right.
And then they end up not being able to develop that quarterback.
That's right. If I think you go back in time when Manning was drafted by the Colts, What was it just a garbage organization at the time, or did they have a dip in the play for some reason? Because if I'm not mistaken, like, they got an opportunity to draft the kid from Stanford, that Andrew Luck,
right?
Didn't they? That was kind of an anomaly system.
Well, when Manning got hurt, right? Wasn't that the year that Manning got hurt?
Yeah, it was like an anomaly that occurred for them to get that pick again in that moment.
Isn't that when it's right after Jim Harbaugh left, right? Wasn't that sooner? He had a couple good years as captain comeback, and then they end up drafting Manning like a year or two later?
Something like that, yeah. So, I mean, look, there are certain, like, you've got a new group in New York, new coaching staff. Am I 100% convinced that they can develop the next quarterback they pick 2nd overall? No, I'm not. I'm not. Like, I know this is the same problem I have when I look at our situation now. Like, I hope it works out. The narrative is the narrative until you change the narrative. And right now the narrative is A, they don't do a good job selecting quarterbacks, identifying talent. And the other thing is right now they don't do a great job developing those guys. And that's like that's 2 big swings and misses. So if you ask me, like, that's part of it. Do I trust other organizations to develop quarterbacks? I do. But some groups, even doesn't matter. You're picking at a certain level. You're picking high because your franchise isn't very good most instances.
And here's the rub with the Bears in that notion about not very good, especially this. So, yes, there have been many people who have fallen through the cracks. Aaron Rodgers just sat there in that green room, and he was taken by the Packers, who already had a starting quarterback. And then Drew Brees, for whether he was too short or whatever the reason, out of Purdue in the second round, as he mentioned. Or Russell Wilson, who rewrote the record books at NC State and then did really well at Wisconsin, was still, what, third round?
Third round.
You know, and then Tom Brady picked 199 because he had to split it with Drew Henson and everything that went on there. There are many guys, Joe Montana, for whatever reason, they fall through the cracks. So do you trust the Bears to be the team to find this year's guy who's going to fall through the cracks?
I don't, like, using that process of you know, that way of thinking, I don't want them to trade up because I don't want them to give up. We've seen that before. History tells us that they struggle to identify the right guy, and then they struggle to develop that guy. So the last thing I want them to do with that as their track record is to actually move up and give up picks, because they haven't proven to you that they can do either of those two things. So in my opinion, you're better off staying where you are, drafting an offensive lineman or someone else that can be a difference maker, and don't reach for that quarterback because you haven't proven to us that you know how to reach to get that guy. So, like, that's why I didn't want them to really do anything crazy. If you couldn't deal for Russell Wilson, I didn't want them to sign Andy Dalton. I don't want them to make any trades.
Do you trust Matt Nagy to find a guy that he likes who is one of those other guys who have been found later in the draft to become? There's always a guy every year who they say, not in that top group. And then sure enough, 5 years later, he turns out to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
You know,
do you trust Matt Nagy now that he's with Pace to find that guy?
I mean,
you trust him more with that than trading up to number four, right? And picking the fourth best quarterback of this draft,
yeah,
and mortgaging the future?
Look, this is a tough question to answer because my first inclination is to say, yes, I trust him more than I trust Pace. So I feel better about Nagy having the opportunity to be the loudest voice in the room when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. But the pushback is, like, his voice was the loudest in the room when they decided to trade for Nick Foles. Because I don't believe that trade is made without Matt Nagy bringing that to the table. Like, I don't think Ryan Pace says, Matt, we're going to trade for Nick Foles, and Matt Nagy just goes, okay, it sounds okay to me. I think it's the other way around. I don't know, but my thought would have been that Matt Nagy went to Ryan Pace and said, hey, we can do this. We'll bring in. So, like, I think that I do believe that Matt Nagy will do a better job evaluating the quarterbacks, but to think that he's going to hit, I don't know, because he struggled to develop Mitch. That's mostly on Mitch, as Kurt Warner told us, and I agree with Kurt Warner, but he didn't put Mitch in position to take advantage of what Mitch did well, at least enough, and then his personnel decision was to trade for Foles. So, like, it's a flawed group right now, yeah, on a number of fronts.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. If you want to participate, I see some callers on the board. We'll get to you guys. Tarot cards on the south side. And while it was a big day for me, and it's been awesome to be back in the First Midwest Bank studio, a couple of other teammates have a big night ahead for them.
Amen.
We'll discuss that coming up next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Check them out at HeroLoan.com. They'll pay for appraisals, and you can close your VA loan in as little as 14 days. Apply online today at HeroLoan.com.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
You know, I was able to meet some new teammates today, guys who aren't new anymore. Jess in promotions is fantastic. First time I've talked to her many times, right? Not met her. Ryan McGuire, the executive producer of White Sox Baseball.
You've never met Ryan?
I've never met him face to face. We've talked, and we've
got a great group here.
Great group. And Connor McKnight I met years ago, but not since he's been a teammate. And I don't remember how tall he is either. Like,
he's very tall. Yeah.
Very tall guy. So it's a big night tonight for both those guys, for not only Connor McKnight, but our old buddy Jeff Mellor.
That's right.
So today, Benetti is off, I believe, today on TV. Today is one of those days that Len will slide over into the TV chair. So then the radio chair is open, and Connor McKnight, who I think is doing like 25 games for Sox baseball, is doing his first play-by-play tonight on ESPN 1000.
Yeah.
Sliding into Connor's chair is Jeff Mellor, who's a lifelong Sox fan, doing the pre- and post-game duties. So it is going to be great for two of our teammates, both Connor and Mellor, tonight with different roles.
We wish them both wish them well, but we're very confident that they'll do a great job.
Of course, yes. So can't wait to hear them. It's Sox Baseball on at 6:30. You'll hear Bleck and Abdallah coming up in about 8 minutes with a short half-hour fun version of the Bleck and Abdallah show.
As opposed to the super serious two-hour non-fun shows.
Dudes are in here huffing markers half the time.
Yeah, I know.
Third line play.
You know what? When they make the candy bars small, what do they call them?
Fun size.
Yep, there you go. That's all I was
saying. That's a lie. That's a lie.
It is. There's nothing fun about fun.
There's nothing fun.
Exactly. There's nothing fun. You know what's fun? A candy bar that's twice the size as usual.
Of course.
That's fun.
That's a fun size. James and Gurney, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, welcome back, brother. We're so, so happy you're back, man. Congratulations, man. We're really proud of you, and we're happy for you.
Thanks, James.
Sylvie. Check it out, Sylvie and Waddy. It's the Tom Brady effect of all this craziness. The Tom Brady effect. No, God forbid, nobody wants to pick Tom Brady at 199, the GOAT. You had mentioned the last time that somebody that was really awesome that got chosen, it was Russell Wilson. If you put him third round, Russell Wilson was the last one. It's not going to happen anymore. People are going to give up the farm. No one's going to let Russell Wilson go float to the third round or obviously pick Tom at 199. It's over. They're going to give up the farm for these quarterbacks moving forward.
I'm not big on moving up. I think Dan Durkin, our buddy, tweeted us a little bit ago about it as well. Like, you know, first round, I think regardless of position, it's about a 50-50 proposition that the guy's going
to
hit.
To begin with. Yeah.
So you're better off actually getting more swings.
Well, what about
so trading
what about,
back?
Do you believe there will still be diamonds in the rough at quarterback, or are they so elevated because they play the position? A guy who would have been picked in the third round a decade ago is now all of a sudden a late first, early second round pick.
That guy, you're right, is probably he's probably overdrafted.
But I
don't want them to trade up draft currency to move up to get Kyle Trask.
Tomorrow we have McShay, by the way, so we can dive into some of these like quarterbacks six through whatever.
Do you know what they're going to have to give up to move up to?
It's the farm. It's crazy.
Yeah, to move up to four or five a guy that's not proven.
Right. The fourth pass.
I wouldn't do it.
Ozzy in Oaklawn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Oz?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I just wanted to share a funny Sylvie story I had. So I met Sylvie back in Bourbon Street for the fantasy convention a few years back. And I introduced myself and tell him how such a big fan I am of the show. And I tell him, you know, believe it or not, I know everybody makes fun and gives up, gives you a hard time, but believe it or not, you're probably the Jordan to this duel of Waddle and Sylvia, you know. Tom's here. You're pimping. And as expected, Sylvie very humble. He's like, no, that Waddle's the Jordan. And I walk away thinking, you know, wonderful guy, just as expected. And fast forward to today, first thing I see on Instagram, the guy's putting out a statement with the word, I'm back. I was like, well, so much for the down-to-earth guy I met over there.
Ozzy, have you enjoyed the Waddle and MJ show today?
Oh,
every
geez.
Day from 2 to 6?
Man, I was like, times change quickly, huh? But I'm not just messing with you and... We're all happy you're doing well, and just wanted to give you a big welcome back, Michael.
Yeah.
I told him earlier, Ozzy, if he could hit the curveball, he would not have come back.
It was a great job by our marketing department. Rachel and the gang.
Taking your cue?
They did all the work, and then I tweeted it, and I Instagrammed it. I felt dirty doing it. But I did it nonetheless.
Whatever, MJ.
I deserve to be panned for
whatever,
that.
MJ.
Jason in L.A., you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jace?
What's going on, man? This is Jay Shep, Sylvie.
Jay Shep, what's up?
Yes, sir. What's going on, man?
Love Jay Shep.
It's so great. It's so great to talk to you guys. I've been a P1 since forever. Glad you're back. You've been in my prayers for this whole entire year, and with Sylvie Strong. I have one thing I wanted to say about the Bears, though. I've been wanting to get this off my chest. This idea about Matt Nagy getting the quarterback of his choosing is trash because he had nothing to do with the development of Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes developed under Andy Reid. The common denominator under Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith is Andy Reid. Donovan McNabb, Andy Reid. It's not Matt Nagy. He's not the answer. He's not a quarterback whisperer. And the issue that we're going to have with trying to get the right quarterback is that we do not have the right coach to develop them because Matt Nagy is not that guy. So just wanted to get that off my chest, guys. Love you, and I hope to talk to you soon. Sylvie Strong.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you calling in on
it's
my
fair
first
criticism.
Day
like I said, they failed to develop Mitch to be, you know, to take advantage of what he did do well. And the identification of Nick Foles as the answer to the question didn't work out. As I said to you earlier, like if you were asking me, do I feel more confident or less confident in Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace identifying the correct quarterback, I would still side with Matt over Ryan on that front.
Yes, right.
It doesn't mean I'm 100% comfortable with who's identifying the talent and who's developing.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me who I would rather have identifying that guy, it would be Matt Nagy over Ryan Pace, and I'm not sure there's a good answer to that question.
Black and Abdallah coming up in 2 short minutes. Thank you, guys. Thanks to all my teammates.
Welcome back.
Thanks to my family. Thank you to all the people listening and the Twitch people for your support. Today was a big day for me. It was an important day for me, and I appreciate you guys being along for the ride and many, many good days ahead.
Is this isn't the sound we made earlier?
We've got Black and Abdallah, then Sox baseball coming up at 6:30. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's Waddle and Sylvie and ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No, hi from you.
What?
No high from you?
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.